This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The release of the Panama Papers by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists has revealed many dirty secrets of the global wealthy elite. Chief among them is the dishonesty of the assertion that there simply isn't enough money for people-centered programs. Programs like protecting the 99% of ordinary human beings from the impact of climate change. My guest, Vian Trung, the director of Green for All, has made the connections in a recent article entitled Panama Papers Prove America Has the Money to Transition to 100% Clean Energy. Welcome to the show, Vian.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So, you know, when these papers first came out, the focus was entirely on the fact that these people, you know, these were political elected officials, and that they were hiding all of this money offshore, and it means our tax system is broken. But I'm so glad you brought up the fact that we're basically being told there isn't money for all these things when clearly there is. How much money, as far as you know, is being hidden offshore, at least according to the Panama Papers? What sort of order of dollar amounts are we talking about?
According to the Tax Justice Network, they're estimating it's about $21 trillion that's being hidden here. What that means for us is if we're just taxing a percentage of that, it would be equal to $150 billion a year that is being hidden by the ultra-rich tax dodgers.
$150 billion a year. So you
it's
make
a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. You know, if these monies, if these profits by these companies were properly taxed, and these are, you know, and if we're talking, say, about just even American companies were taxed in America. If it was a British company, it would be taxed in Britain, and so on, because these are transnational companies, or individuals, if they were declaring their actual taxes in the country that they were getting these monies, the governments of those countries would be getting that tax money. It would be going into the treasuries of those countries, right? And then, of course, it's the common pot of money from which we build our infrastructure.
Right. Well, you and I, we pay our taxes. We pay our taxes when we pay for our homes, when we pay for our products. We pay for the cost it takes to run our country, from the roads to the bridges to our basic infrastructure around education. We all pay our fair share. We just want to make sure everybody else is doing the same thing. And I talked a little bit earlier about $150 billion being a lot of money. Sometimes I think when we talk about such big numbers, it seems to be lost in abstract on how many zeros there are, right? So according to the U.S. Department of Education, the cost of making college entirely free for this country is almost $63 billion a year. According to the United Nations, in order to solve world hunger, it's going to cost us about $30 billion a year. That's less than $90 billion total, or it's about $90 billion total. We're talking about $150 billion here that is being hidden away from our taxes. And if we were just investing that money alone into the clean energy future, that would be equal to 5 million homes across this country getting free solar. Now, I know the numbers, when I think about big zeros, you know, it kind of gets lost in the abstract. So think of it as $150 billion would have covered the cost of every home in LA, Boston, and DC combined having free solar. That's how much money we're talking about here.
And that's per year. So one year you would do part of the country, the next year you could do another. I mean, basically year after year after year, starting, you know, today, if we had that access to that money, the world and the U.S. could begin transitioning to renewable energies. Now, is the main reason that we don't see a faster transition, is it always money? When President Obama talks about transitioning to renewable energy, because it's at least a popular talking point among liberal politicians and Democrats, when they talk about transitioning to renewable energy, is money the main obstacle that's often raised?
It's a big part of the obstacle, and I don't want to hide away from the fact that there's a lot of things we have to think about to make this full transition. We got to figure out how do we green up our existing pipelines. We can't entirely move away from coal and natural gas tomorrow necessarily, but we can get towards that. The big problem oftentimes is we don't have the political will yet. We're still building up to that. And when I do the work across this country, whether it's Utah or Kentucky or California, oftentimes what we hear back is, well, we can't do that because it'll hurt low-income communities and communities of color. You know, they argue that this is going to be hurting the people who have been paying for pollution with their very health and lives, which is so true and so clear when we look at what's happening in Flint, when we look at what's happening in New Orleans, when we look at what's happening in Bayview, Hunters Point, and Richmond, California, and East LA. We know that pollution is already taking a huge toll and cost with our lives. We got to make the transition.
And so we're told that, for example, if we were to shut down coal plants, that coal jobs, which are apparently primarily benefit low-income people, would be lost. But coal benefits coal companies. Then the CEOs are, of course, worried about their jobs as well. And so when we hear about that, how much of a benefit, how much of a boost to our economy would a transition to renewable energy be?
Yeah, the latest numbers that I've seen is that for every dollar we invest into fossil fuels, we can create three times as much co-benefits, as much benefits to the community and in jobs as we would in the coal companies and the fossil fuel companies if we invested into renewable energy. Because what we're looking at is moving away from an international product, right? A commodity that is really, you know, a lot of international markets, a lot of looking at jobs that not necessarily are in the United States. We've lost a lot of the jobs that used to be in mining, even when we have started creating the system where we blow off mountaintops instead of actually going under the mines. So we have created a system that is dependent on us really violating some of our basic goods and treasures of this country, right? Our purple mountains, majesty, right? Like, we're literally are blowing off our purple mountains. And if we just changed our mindset a little bit and invested it into the sun, into wind farms, into greening up our chemicals that we're using in our homes, greening up, you know, the processes that we're using for our food systems, that all of those things are part of the clean energy future, part of the green economy that we want to move towards.
Now, we are running out of time. And even though the Panama Papers might prompt the IRS, at least in this country, and maybe other tax systems in other countries, to begin to make those tax systems fairer, to begin to close the loopholes, it's probably not going to happen fast enough to stave off climate change. So the question is when I saw your article, I thought in just moral terms, that argument is powerful. How important is it to make this moral argument that there is so much money that global elites are essentially stealing from us, corporations and wealthy individuals stealing from us, that they're literally stealing our future and subjecting us to hunger, poverty, and a climate apocalypse?
Well, look, most Americans are now living paycheck to paycheck. 60% of Americans now have less than $400 in savings. We're using what little money we have to pay for as healthy a food as possible, rising property values, covering the cost of medication and healthcare. And it's only fair. We're not asking for anything unfair. We're asking that big corporations and the ultra wealthy do what's fair and pay their fair share. It is a moral issue. We cannot continue to afford subsidizing them.
And if they pay their taxes, most of them are going to stay pretty rich, right? It's not going to solve global poverty overnight if they start paying their fair share in taxes.
No, we're talking about them doing what we've been doing our whole lives.
So how do we
survive too?
Right, exactly. And of course, you know, it's harder for those on the poorer end of the spectrum to pay taxes and survive. So how do we begin making that conversation jump from a moral argument to something in practical terms? What sort of investment does government already put into renewable energies? I know it depends state by state. California is one of the leaders on this, but at the same time, California is also terrible on the issue of fracking. And it's sort of, we live in this patchwork situation right now, it seems, that different states are just taking the initiative in the absence of federal action. Where's the U.S. right now on investment in renewable energies?
California is doing great. U.S. can go further. And we have to do it in such a way that not only are we talking about how do we get more solar panels on the rooftops, but how do we get more solar panels on the rooftops of people who could otherwise not afford it, but really does benefit from the cost savings and the cleaning up of their community. For instance, let me tell you a little bit about how California's at the forefront. We had a program here that made polluters pay for the pollution they were putting into the air. And a group of us came together and passed a law that said a quarter of that money has to go to the poorest and most polluted communities. We got over 2,000 free solar panels up in California in that first year. There's a woman named Maria Zavala in Fresno. She got a free solar panel, and her electricity bill went from $200 a month on average to $1.50. $1.50 a month. That's what we're talking about here. That's the moral call to action that we're seeing. The Pope has called for it. The Dalai Lama has called for it. You know, Hillary Clinton's called for it. Now we just actually have to do it.
And what you're describing is something that people term climate justice, right? Not necessarily, it would be wonderful to move to renewable energies, but we could simply recreate a world where instead of fossil fuel companies that are the most profitable companies in the world, we have solar panel companies that are continuing to fleece the poor and rebuild these companies in the image of the fossil fuel companies. What you're talking about is climate justice. We're in the process of rebuilding our energy system. We're rebuilding our economy as well. And that goes hand in hand with reforming our tax system so that it is fairer. All of this is clearly important. Can you tell us what steps people are taking, groups like yours are taking, to actually make that happen? I mean, politicians signaled the signing of the Paris Accord as a big victory, but we know that it was a very flawed deal. So how do groups like yours, Green for All, make it happen?
We're calling for there to be green for everybody, green for all. And we launched a petition on Earth Day talking about why people who break or violate our human rights, our dignity, our air, our clean water, they need to fix it. And so we have a petition up, makepolluterspay.us.us. Go to the website. You'll see a petition there. Put your name on it. We had 13,000 people sign up within 24 hours. Saying we really have to make sure we're making whole the very people who are suffering and paying with their lives, with their health, their lungs, that these polluters are making us, you know, breathe in this dirty air and drink in this dirty water. So go to the website, makepolluterspay.us, and if you're on Twitter, tweet out #polluterspay.
And is it also linked from your website, greenforall.org?
Yes, definitely, and check out our website, greenforall.org, and you'll get all the information you need there.
And we'll post those websites to our site later today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you.
My guest is Vianne Trung. She is the director of Green for All, and she recently wrote the article, Panama Papers Prove America Has the Money to Transition to 100% Clean Energy, which we'll post to our website as well. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar.